Fambul, good evening and welcome to the program One on One. We come to you live from the Society for Radio Democracy 98.1 FM with me, Sulaiman Storm Kuruma. One on One, our program ready for profile personalities, people we don't work hard for make them outside and day to day. And also now a program where they mentor young people and for believe in themselves, say no matter how difficult it can be like when you small, if you put effort, you can able to achieve what you want to achieve. Well, in the last week program, we've been talking to the executive officer for the Environmental Protection Agency. We tell you about how he grab up, how he been talek for him, talek who that in be today. Well, today inside the program, now a pleasure for what we get inside the program, former Vice President of the Republic of Sierra Leone and also presidential aspirant in the 2007 elections. He go tell you about how life turn for him, we be small, how he grew up, and how he be so that he be so today. Good evening and welcome to the program, Solomon Ekuma-Berewa.
Good evening, Storm. Good evening.
All right. Firstly, tell we about your life, how you be small, how you born, and how you grew up.
Well, I born Bumpe Chidon, a town called Yengemania Serabu. Serabu, in the Bumpe Chidon, Bo District. My papa, I mean, the section chief in that town. Me mama na be one of in plenty wives, but me papa died away 7 years, so na me a brother now bring me up. Say I don't primary school na Serabu, I go secondary school na Bo.
Before we come na Bo, you talk about your papa get plenty wives, so it means you come on a very large family. So how it be mean, how it be talent for you, you know, growing up with plenty brothers, you know, all get for compete for good school, how it be talent and tenende?
Well, competition have been there so much. I know more before can decide. Luckily, instead of in go school, so even kinder to all go school, my brother then, my sister then. We all go to school. But unfortunately, he died before we grew up. So the elder brothers, we didn't go to school before we, them in there. And because of the way we papa bring them up, then regard we as an obligation for sister, we still go to school, we still learn book, and then pursue them.
Then you go secondary school. I mean, you left Serabu. Also, you don't attend primary school for Bo.
Well, me na be a foundation student at CKC.
Right, that's Christ the King College.
In college. I said, they don't primary school, then they can open Christ the King College. Serabu na Catholic school, Christ the King College na Catholic institution. So me na be a foundation student in that college. Na that school we call them college. Go the 1954. Na in the college, then the school open. So I become one of the first students who started.
Right. And you know, during entering the CKC just open, and the temptation for example for attend both school and some other few schools them around being there. Why you choose CKC at the end of the day for BA school where you want to attend?
There will have been a Catholic school. We commodity na Saint Edward's for come. They not been encouraged for go to a non-Catholic school, particularly both school where they not been regarded as a Christian school. So from Serabu, if I not been go sick, it's in a St. Edward's, I've been for camp.
So you miss the pleasure of not coming to St. Edward's, I mean Freetown, after Serabu?
No, I miss the disadvantage of coming to Freetown where small. Because that would be for a disadvantage for me.
How?
Well, I not been no Freetown. Okay. I think curious, I not be talking good. You know, in your own schools, you know, they don't encourage you to talk to school. So if you've been coming to Freetown, one, the question of guardianship before they would have been for stay with that thing, but in schools they're not so plenty. So I before suffer a bit. So not just by providence that CKC open just where they don't primary school. So I can they as one of the first students. Now they are they are done the school.
Right. So how you been talk like as a schoolboy, then saying that I mean from JSS 1 to you sixth form, you know, while during then saying that you make friends, how school days been talk like you for you then saying that?
Okay, yes, there's no been there. There's no. We been get from one to from five to from six. I can say, I mean, I've been a normal student, but because of the force and brother, I mean, they forced me for land. I think I excelled myself at the school. I mean, if I take second class, it can vex. So I can always try to get first. So now, so I don't school. I mean, get plenty of friends, of course, schoolmates, classmates. So I don't school.
So where you don't school? What thing then you do?
I come from a college straight away. In then days, as you don't school, if your results good, you know, they apply there for Frabbe College. The principal just saying your name. You know, they apply for scholarship. As you come, you get scholarship. So from school, the first time I come, free time for stay, now I come Frabbe College. And of course, Frabbe College in those days, now holy boarding institution. Nobody go stay outside. So it been suit me good. Because I go to boarding school in CKC. I've been there in boarding school. So years I've been boarding institution there. CKC boarding school. I come from because it's a boarding institution. Though I've been adults, we not been adults now, but we are confined as boarding students, we not go sleep outside. So I come from a college straight away.
So what you can study?
I can study arts. I do arts. I do languages, Latin, French. I do mathematics in a Frabbe College. Out of my second year, I end up with Latin and French. And I do in a Frabbe College.
So you talk French fluently?
Well, I mean, the talker, up to the time where I left Frabbe College, I even teach him where I left Frabbe College, but over the years, I'm not so eloquent now. I can hear not so eloquent now.
So what about the Latin?
Of course, you know, the Latin, not spoken English, but it helped me a lot. Latin helped me a lot. It still helped me a lot. Or you go do law, if you study Latin, it can help a lot. So, thank God I did Latin at school and Frabbe College. Okay. So, it helped me a lot. Mm-hmm.
So, now, you done your first degree. What else you do?
After my first degree, I teach. I teach the Abbott Academy for 1962 or 63, for 1 year. They are kind of military school, that went to services school, or don't be services school. I mean, pure military school, we didn't say military school. The boys are military boys, they wear military uniform, they get military ranks. I can teach them. I teach them from 1964 to 66. Then I go cooperative department. I left teaching, I go cooperative department. I did it for 1 year. Then the department sent me England, Loughborough College. I go Loughborough College, I go do a diploma in cooperative management and accounting for 2 years in England. Then I come back to cooperative. I come back cooperative for 1 or 2 years. I worked there for about 1 or 2 years. but then, where they teach, my mind don't come up for do law. So I've been do me legal studies a bit, where they teach. We are going to England again, I pursue a little bit, I make inquiries, waiting for Duke, where they do the corporate, because so when I come back now, it'll be very easy for me. I say, I can no more, I resign from government. I go England in 1969 for the law. So in 69, I go England.
So which college you choose for study law in England, where you go?
It's called London, it's called School of Law, Chancery Lane. And they study, I'm a member of Inner Temple. Because of the background where we don't get, I do in a very short time. And I get very good results. I mean, I get prizes all, and bar finals and so forth. I get special certificates. So then I come back home in 1973. And that time, the way you go England, you're anxious to come to Sierra Leone, but Sierra Leone be sweet. So I'll be anxious to come back home. Because one, I've been not married. Where the service is school. I don't begin for born picking them. I left me two picking them there. I left two of them with me and my wife to go England, where they study law. So we're not going to stay, so we come home quick, where I can now. I go in a law officer's department. I've been state council law officer from 1973 to 1979 or 80. I was trying to Freetown, transfer me to the northern province. I've been a prosecutor, send me to Bo, send me to Kenneman, still as prosecutor. So the main thing that I've been to do.
So whilst you be doing things and they just like as you say, you be done already yet picking them, you know, you don't begin tour all over for be prosecutor on a McKinney, Bo, Kenima and other parts of the country. So your family be understand with you then ten and day, I mean they need your attention, you need for see to your family, you picking them, you know. You be the go with them or then be there, so and how you be there relate?
Very interesting those days. By the time I come from England, my eldest child, being a girl, in don't do for go secondary school. So I left her in a boarding home and wash, same in the boarding hall. The younger ones, then we'll go there. We'll go Bo, then go school na Bo, go Kenema, then go school na Kenema, until we come back to Freetown. In 1979, I will come back to Freetown. They can put them in a permanent school in Freetown. And they would feel. My wife said, in the walk, now being a train nurse, we will go to England. Oh, can we walk a bit? But because of my movements, I get for resign and begin for go with me. We had to go practice. I mean, and my wife and Andy, because I don't die now. So I mean, to be the go right around the country, that's where they go. We can free time 1979. They continue in government work. I become senior state council, senior law officer, and law office there. Then 1980, government job became tight for me. I mean, I don't get up to 4 or 5 children. I mean, the government salary, you know, been doing again for pay them, boarding school. My education became very expensive. I've been wanting to make them go now, especially schools. So because of that, I left government, going to private practice. So from 1980, I then got private practice, form a farm of lawyers that was best than me. We formed Best and Barrow Law Firm. Where we took in the practice now. So because I did in private practice now, my income increased. So I able to take care of them, take care of myself, and we live a fairly decent life, more than waiting we live for leave if I been continuing government service. So 1989, I do that.
How many picking they get and waiting did you do now?
I get 5 picking them. One girl, Indian Australian, right? No, you don't marry, you don't born Peking then. He said, don't born to Peking then. I got four boys. Four boys. One, a priest. Three in the America. The eldest, the medicine, the one they do computer science, the other one they do electronics, how you call it, electronics. So they're all the American. That's my daughter, no more day.
That's early.
That's early. Mama died. It's just the number one green day. So it come. Eventually, myself come. It's in the day now. I mean, to the they own place, but at least I can see them with everyone see them.
Now, after you'd open your law firm, I mean, income begin come, and then things and they. And later, you come into politics. How that happened?
Very interesting, because, I mean, everybody is a political animal, as you can agree with me. I've been very interested in politics as an academic subject in a way, though as a student from the college I was very active in the SLPP in 1962. I've been very active 1962, even led a campaign in a Regent area for one Gideon Dixon Thomas, I wonder if it was. And I will campaign for SAPP. But where I come into government after I left teaching, naturally, I toned down my political activity. Till I go to England, of course, I had to tone down because I was very keen to study and come back quick. Where I come, I go back in the law office. See, the government service, you won't be active in politics when you're in government service. In those days, I think it's the same thing now. Mm-hmm. We're going to private practice. Still, my active, you know, interest no arise quick. Until that rebel business come. With that rebel business come, I mean, the way the rebels, they deal with people then. And then that is from 1991 going forward. You know, there was a lot of massacre in our areas then. It became a moral issue, whether for staying a private practice, the earn money, or for join politics. So they would try to fight the rebels in. Luckily, at that time, the multi-party system just came. The party then became liberalized. The SAPP came back. So I decided to say, give a hand to the fight against the rebels. So in my own way, we start writing things, we start doing the usual things so you can do undercover, so that the rebels no, can cut your head off. Then Mr. Tijankaba came, one contest, they became very supportive of him. So we win the election. I've not been very keen for coming into government again. I mean, that was not my desire. My desire and I've been for left in private practice. I enjoyed it a lot. And the money was there and it was, you are free. Not like you're in government service or you're a magistrate or a judge, you're controlled. Private practice, that is not there. Case go, can you say? Me no want that case. And if you want time, you don't say money the inside. So that advantage is there. But I've been ready for left all that, for come and see how much we can help to you know, suppress the rebels. So we Tigran Kabak, we were very active in his campaign. After the election, he made a suggestion to me for being attorney general. I resisted it considerably. I didn't want that at all. I didn't want to be attorney general or anything more. I don't see it all. I learned in a law office for so many years, but through some contacts, he prevailed on me. I agreed for being attorney general on the condition that I was to be that only for 2 years. And within the 2 years, I was hoping that the war would end, that everything would be over, I would go back to my private practice. Udede, as you know, 1996, where the election came, Tigran Kabak win, APC, SAPP win. I say in 2 years' time, the war will go down, I'll go back to my practice. In 1997, now you see the FRC come, they hit the government, we leave the country, we run away. So all in the Conakry, as you know, the Conakry, then the thing became very tense. The question of leaving it now, I could not imagine. So I became an instrument now in the hands of the government or the president for the go up and down from Conakry, you send me go America, you send me go Ghana, you send me so many places, you know, for the contacts, for see how we could get help for deal with the AFRC. And I was very happy. Useful there now. Then eventually, of course, you know, they overthrew the the AFRC, and the government was reinstated. When the government was reinstated, again, I still didn't want to continue, but there was something which really caused me to continue.
All right, before we talk that thing they will cause you for continue, gently, I will remind we listeners and say that they listen to the program One-on-One. We come to you. You live from the Society for Radio Democracy, 98.1 FM, with me, Sulaiman Storm Koroma. And inside the program today, I get the pleasure for host the former Vice President of the Republic of Sierra Leone and also flag bearer for the 2007 elections. We contest under the Sierra Leone People's Party. Now, Mr. Berewa, of course, you don't tell me about how, you know, Unakomo Guinea came after the SLPP, they don't reinstate, and we, the AFRC junta, they don't overthrow previously. So now, Unakam, you say you actually be the thing for left the position, but this time you get a second thought.
Go back to the private practice. Yeah. But, Unakam, there was a lot that needed to be done as attorney general. You know, we get a lot of them people we get for prosecute. There are all those rebels then who be involved. They hold them all, you know, Ekomo hold them all, the civilians, the military.
Not the collaborators.
The collaborators. I mean, as attorney general, imagine if I run away from that, I would have been regarded as a big coward. So I said, well, I have to finish this. So I take that upon myself. The prosecution of those collaborators, civilian, military, we set up different courts. As is, if you've been there for a year, you know, law courts, we can get 2 courts there, 3 courts. The old city hall, we then born later on, we can get courts there. And run between them, courts then, the prosecutor, where you take evidence here, go under. And then on that, until we finish the prosecution.
You be there under any pressure then turn and day for like the people who then find guilty, for an example, we then take actions against you, be there under any pressure for take certain actions against certain people because we're free to then do, or you get any form, for an example, for revenge against the actions that we then do against you now for us to now
call it revenge. In fact, a lot of them, I mean, good friends now. I know that was, no? You know, I try to very professional in my legal practice, having been a prosecutor from the time where I tell you I come to England, TLF Law Office. Now, prosecution, no more than they do. So you cannot prosecute and have revenge. You won't do it well. The facts were there. Some of these things were so glaring. You let them be layman until you go prosecute. You go know what the accused do. You know, the activity been so rampant all over the country. So no revenge have been there. But I had to do it very thoroughly because there was so much international observation about what we are doing. There were members of the International Law Commission here for see how we did well. Members of the British Bar were here just watching whether we were doing it professionally or not. So I could not afford to be sentimental or revengeful. No. I did it to the best of my ability according to due process until we finish it all.
Now to the army officers, about 21 of them, will then be executed and 10 and they. I mean, any penalty, for example, like life imprisonment or an alternative for them, they be there at all? Any consideration for that?
Court martials were like private prosecution in those days. But the APC government of Shaka Stevens had changed it, had removed the right of appeal for court martials. For court martial, if they convict you, you have no right of appeal. So the ones they convict, they execute, they never get the opportunity for appeal. Whereas all the civilians there, been get right of appeal. In fact, we've been there on the appeal process. We would go on the Lome peace agreements with the amnesties that perhaps you guys me about those. The amnesties and the pardons have come about. We would have left it. Mm-hmm.
Right. So now, from Attorney General, the idea of flag bearer come up. I mean, in 2007, that was the last tenure for President Kabah. And then we need a new flag bearer. At any time it may come now, your mind say you for don't be the selected one. I mean, no, even before Tijan Kabah left.
I never thought of becoming even vice president. As I say, my focus was just to go back to my practice. Because that's what I was made of. I mean, being in court, prosecuting, practicing law, was what I enjoyed more than being president, let alone being vice president. I didn't hope for that. I didn't expect it. I didn't ask for it. I didn't campaign for it. It just came upon Tijan Kabah that he saw what I had done. He saw my performance all throughout. Then he decided that I was to be his vice president. Even that, we had to haggle on it a bit.
So you even refused making you vice president, a thing where people in love? I mean, you argue over that?
I didn't want it. I mentioned it to him. There are people, living witnesses, who prove that I even told him that I did not want it. I wanted to just continue to be attorney general. That was the job I enjoyed the most because it was a continuation of my legal practice. Not vice president. I didn't hope to be president ever.
So he insists.
So he insisted, his own way of insisting, of getting angry with you, sending people to you, and so forth. Then, of course, we're on very good terms. I didn't want to hurt him. I didn't want to give the impression that I wanted to back out. So I caved in. I became the vice president after the 1902 election. He appointed me as vice president. I took it and then gave up my legal business. And I was no longer practicing law, which I missed considerably. It was purely governance and those things.
So then they bring you to a new field, you know, like how you say, you get this passion, you know, for practice as a lawyer, and now you're vice president, you know. Tell me how your 5 years experience been time, like meeting international people locally, you know, and this Solomon Bell, where people, I mean, they can't talk very often, now restricted to seeing many people. How have you been telling the position of vice president for you?
Not, I won't say restricted. Where I become vice president, it was a very active moment. You know, I was vice president when the war came to an end. And because I was vice president, a lot of people were coming to see me. Either coming to see me to go to the president, or go with them to the president, or through the president. And the president was assigning a lot of functions to me. Mind you, when we came back after Guinea, and the NPRC had done, you know, the law, they had twisted the law, the promulgations and all. It was the duty of the Attorney General to put all those laws back to their normal places. So I should not forget, all these were the things that I needed to do after when I just became Attorney General. When we came back, the 1 year of the AFRC rule, they had twisted the law again. They had made so many changes. I needed to put all those back in order and take them to Parliament for them to be reversed to what the law was then. So these are very important functions. Not that somebody else could not have done it, but I was already in the train, so I took it up. When I became vice president, not that people were not coming to me. People were coming to me for more than when I was attorney, in my private practice. Private people will come to me when they have cases, and they will come to me to pay me. But as Attorney General, people came to me not directly. They went to me after there was a state matter which required government intervention, or they went to the police because something had happened. People were coming to me. As vice president, I was seeing a lot of people. I say I was not a novice to government anymore. I don't take part in government, I mean, from 1996 to I mean, that's long enough. When I was Attorney General, a lot of people would come and find out from me what was happening. You know, international people, NGOs, so many people. When I became vice president, a lot of people were coming to me again. Of course, I had my schedule of supervising ministers. That was, again, my schedule. So I had to see what ministers were doing, things that needed to go to the president, I take them there, things that didn't need to go to the president, I took.
So you'll be the supervised ministers, them work and everything they do?
All that. If you look at the schedule, my schedule then as vice president included all that. If the president wanted to see a minister, of course he could see him, but where a minister could have the matter resolved, without going to the president, they will come to me. So I had all those contacts. And foreigners also coming who wanted to see the president on state matters. Either the president will send them to me or they will come and get what they wanted to know from me. And they didn't bother the president. So those are all my assignments, which was quite a loaded thing, I can tell you. I was quite busy. I could even say I was busier than when I was attorney general. So that's the... And the president saw the way I performed. And so he was very keen that I succeeded him.
A lot of people, you know, I mean, they say, you know, that kind of strict person, you know, you time conscious, you know, you strict, and some even put on boldly back, like they say, you know, wicked person. That not been true?
Well, of course, I'm glad the way you say, then even put and say, you know, wicked person. When you strict, people may think you are wicked. But you won't get things done if you are not really in our own political setting, if you're not street small. When time comes for play small, if you've been there as minister, you say you come to me by 11 o'clock, you know, can you not go meet me again? I go, don't vex by you. So when you say you go come by 11, you go make sure say you come. If I don't give you an assignment for two, you go do one. Because I come from the background of private practice where my success depended on how efficient and timely I perform my functions, how I satisfy my clients. So from that background, I come into government. I not change. If I had to be in my office at 8 o'clock, if I had an appointment, somebody or a minister or anybody for 8:15, he should be there. If he's not there, I won't see him again. One, because there are other people to see. Two, there'll be other things to do. So, they thought I was strict. But I was not just too strict, I was very punctual. Let me give you an example. A governor of the Bank of Sierra Leone made a dinner, an annual dinner, inviting so many big people. They invited me as guest of honor. Gave me the invitation, fine brochure, well printed. I went there. He was 5 minutes late. He met me. I returned. He had to come and beg me to go back. I didn't go back. I said, if you are inviting me to a dinner, you invited all those big people, you should be there before them. It's a matter of principle. I mean, some Krumah is to interview somebody at Democracy Radio at 9 o'clock. The person goes there at 8:45. Stone Krumah is not there until 9:30. Tell me. The whole institution may tend to break down. But if you are the interview person at 9 o'clock, you are there at 8:55. You'll be there to receive him. Then that counts well for the institution which you lead. I won't allow it to happen. They knew it. I won't call a minister, come at 9 o'clock, come by 9:05. I won't allow it. President will call and say, make it can say, party camp. When we call, I go, come on to him.
So if it happened, if the president called for scene, he go deliver, but when it's you?
President, you know, president was that sort of easygoing man. But as I said, the background I come from, if I have your case in court, a very serious case, they are calling it, you turn around, you didn't see your lawyer. You will cry. Me for the day before you come. Me for the day before the judge come. So I had developed that. So I came into government with that. So I know that not make people like me too much, if you live, you know, considering the Israeli mentality. And say, they said, African time. No, it was not my time. My time was GMT. If we agreed on certain things, we keep to it. I said, this is it.
Right. Well, fam will not forget to listen to the program One-on-One, where they come to you live from the Society for Radio Democracy 19.1 FM with me, Suleiman Storm Kromar. And inside the program today, we talk to former Vice President of the Republic of Sierra Leone and also 2017 flag bearer for the Sierra Leone People's Party. Now, we don't talk about your tenure as Vice President and now an attempt where you get the opportunity for lead the SLPP into 2007 elections. Firstly, it become with you choosing the vice president. A lot of issues been surrounded. People, they say you were given a vice president and you be want your own vice president. How would that be?
This, I wish this didn't come on the air, but of course, it was a matter of public knowledge that I had divergence opinion with President Kaba on that issue. Not that I wanted my own vice president, but I wanted somebody whom the public would tell me that was popular. I mean, people would come and tell me that this man we wanted, whom the president is urging you to take, is not popular. He has no political base. Because of him, he may lose the election. I like the man, but I didn't like him because of that. I could have liked him for any other thing. But if he was to be my running mate, I was warned that he may be a liability to me. So that was the only problem.
So I mean, now the things begin to fall apart between you and your boss at the end
Let's say yes.
Okay. So then, I mean, you don't get any option but for take the vice president given to you. When I begin campaign, a lot of people say when I begin short time, because even to the time you agree for get him as a vice president, you were already beaten by time. So, I've been telling for make up for time whilst the APC be don't get their own and then be their own campaigns.
I not think so, a bit in my time, because while me and the president been there in this haggle for the vice president, the campaigns, I know from the moment I become flag bearer, I know sit down. I've been move all over this country, all over the place. So I don't lose time. But you need a vice president who subscribes to your campaign. This fact became obvious later on. I could not do anything about it.
Then you choose your vice president. The campaign began.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the campaign was on.
Mm-hmm. So the elections, of course, you lost at the end of the day. What do you think they go wrong?
I don't put all that in a book. I don't prepare. It didn't have a book. One, in the first round, I get a runoff with President Nkrumah. We go second rounds. The second rounds, I wish you look at it. I don't put something, you may not have seen the book. I say exactly what happened. Within the chief electoral commissioner do, he cancel a lot of votes from areas where I get a lot of support. I listed them in the book there. And which I thought was not fair. It was not fair for two reasons. Dwell in consultation with me or my agents to being a right for cancel any vote in a presidential election. If anything like that come up, if we ask the Supreme Court for decide as to what to do, do that.
But if I don't contest the result,
it can be like Jamaica.
Well, a lot of people will say, if you think it's unfair, then if I don't say no.
Honestly, that showed how keen I was to be president, or how keen or not I was president. Being president, I would have welcomed becoming president, but I didn't mind not becoming president. Let me put it that way. I didn't want to put the nation too much pressure, too much tension. This war had ended not quite long before then. We had just come from this pressure, this thing. And as you know, I was very much involved in the peace process. I was heading the delegation to Abidjan, delegation to Lomé, all that. So I knew what it meant, that peace should prevail soon and at all cost. We had one election after the peace in 2002. This was another one. But if I had protracted a resolution, a final resolution as to what was to happen, you know, the tension before our eyes, it could have been so tense that in past waiting we no want before happen. So now for that, as soon as the chief electoral commissioner announced the result, in less than 5 minutes I ring an escrow man, I say I concede. And in less than 1 hour he go to my office. We talk one thing. The good thing is that we are not on hostile terms during the campaign. Me too. We support us, Kindik. But me too, we've not been there any hostile time.
So we got a very good relationship.
We had a very good relationship with me to the joke. I mean, that's not to say that we support us, not the clash. And that relationship we even continue with them.
But then, you know, a lot of people, they say there is this thing, say the election's done, you fall apart with President Kaba, there is something you hold against her, anything?
As if I can leave that, he's gone now, he won't be there to defend himself. So if I can leave that, to be very nice. If he was alive, I say it, you go and ask him to give his own version. It would have been fair.
But you know, you never say that openly. You don't say that?
I say I hold anything against him. Mm-hmm. As I say, if I hold anything against him, it will be to his discredit, as you know, for counter it. So now for that, I prefer not to say it, you know. Obviously, we were not on the best of times after the election for some time, but whatever that could have caused that, I would like to see it now with him deceased.
So I mean, after the elections you stay low from then till today, what you don't they do and how life turned like for you
after the elections? I mean, I stay alone. Before the election, I had been alone, a widower. I don't get a wife since then. So I've been alone, if that's what you mean. But if you mean in the popular sense,
yeah.
I know the work. After the election, I had one or two things to do. They invited me to Bradford, England. I go there for a brief lectureship. I go there for 3 months. Then I go to Kofi Annan Institute as well, Ghana for a while. I go to Zimbabwe as well for some one or two lectures. I go to Banjul just for a walk, for a short holiday. I know they go out again. I don't go see me picking them once or twice. In America, but that's purely informal trips. I know that, yes, I know the work. Really, democracy not give me no work for do. So I'm very comfortable as I am.
Okay. But government officials can visit, you get support, your allowances, everything they come.
I get friends, I get a lot of friends. I did on my pension. Retired pension, generous pension, thanks to Ernest Nkrumah, President Nkrumah. They gave me vehicles, securities around, policemen and soldiers. So they maintain two really cool for me, one really cool for the security, the government expense. So they don't know for me. Not that they did it for you, it's part of my entitlement. But a wicked president would have ignored it, not so?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they gave me what is my entitlement. Mm-hmm. So, in that regard, I would say I'm alone. Where I sit on the veranda and net, the security, then they're around. Mm-hmm. They give me cars, they don't change the cars once, and new ones, and they give me. So, I can't complain much. The idleness is too much. Mm-hmm. We don't use for the go walk every morning. He will come.
So you want to do something? I mean, you want to engage yourself in something?
Well, at this age, I don't know which will really engage myself in anything now.
Any advice you want? Anybody will consult you for a piece of advice you can give?
I mean, informally, yes, I can do that informally. But chamber itself, I know the group since I left. Government, the chamber still another go. I just can travel to Bo and back, go to the village for a while and come back, you know.
Now, looking at the current impasse, mm-hmm. now the Sierra Leone People's Party, you've been a flag bearer, possibly, you know, don't lead the party to an election. And, I mean, you see the current spate of you know, the issues within the SLPP. Mm. That's give any cause for concern?
Yeah, of course. I mean, who would not be concerned? You will be very insensitive if you're not concerned. This is the only party I know, the party of my birth, you know, up to this time. Then the party where I don't stay inside for so long. I became a leader of this party. I became the flag bearer of this party. I commanded peacefully, nothing, no problem, no deal. Everybody was at peace. We accommodated after the 2007 election. Then now it don't become a laughing stock. I mean, who that not going to be concerned?
I mean, you don't do anything, you intend for do anything for salvage this?
I don't try quite a bit. I mean, time being there, I mean, the call meeting there. Eh? And this me palo, all the chairs, then I would try to resolve the party matters. Now. But the point at which he reached, a lot of people now, we see this question, the same thing where you ask me of the street. If there's something that green, I call it green. If somebody wants to shift and small, to light green, I'm not going to accept him. So, now, if you go to that party office, you know, go this way, you go that way.
Which way?
I mean, just an example, you don't go one way, you go the other way. Then one day, you know, go that way, you become the enemy. Big people, they don't come, even big past me, who don't try for going to this problem. They're not able.
So, for as a way for round of this interview, we think it will be your word to young people. People, they now, they think, say, they're not able to achieve what they want to achieve in life. People who think, say, you know, they can't be who they want to be in life. So, what are your word of advice and as a way for mentor them for believing in self?
If a person wants to achieve anything, he really wants to achieve it, and he go in for it, he will achieve it. It may be the most difficult thing, but failing once, he should not take that as failure. He should really go in for it. You cannot, for instance, a young boy came to me yesterday and said, now, if Papa don't die, I don't get nobody. I tell you, so if Papa die. He said, died 2 years ago. I said, which is the age, you know? He said, I don't 29. I said, you know which time Papa died? My Papa died when I was 7 years. My man was big like this house. But because I was determined to succeed, I put away everything else. Mm-hmm. Where they go to school, I don't get nothing else. Where the member passed me book, I go college, the same thing. I go England. Unfortunately, I go England first, where they cooperated. They were good enough for study law. Now I'm book no more, they concentrate, man. You go succeed. You turn your attention to waiting you want for B, you go succeed. I mean, but if you want to put hand on this, you want to put hand on that, you want to put hand on this, it's unlikely to succeed. I mean, and you will see young boys there, and in we own days, I don't know about we own, time, but we own days, even we were there from a college, and we were there final year, when you see lecturer, they come, you hold a gay elephant. Hmm? Now, it's fashionable. Oh, the school. The question of smoking, I smoke a lot now, but you know, I start for smoke. Certain things, and they look small, but you know, it will put you back. One time, they may even call their mama, they put on their mama. Tell you, if not this part born, we really, because of the way I've been treated with them. It's not something I develop. You know, ask them, mama, tell you, if not this part born, we said, the way we treat with me. And my commodity staff, we said, I'm not giving trouble. When I asked, he said, you can forgive up certain things, like everything else. I'm not getting nobody in plabber since I left government. Mm-hmm. Nothing, not the you saying that this I do. Where they go talk bad, they go say about the street and that, but it's their own assessment. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, anything they didn't give me for do in government, I try for do me best there. Sacrifice myself there. Mm-hmm. So now for that, I go from attorney general. To be attorney general at that time was not easy. It's not like now, becoming an attorney general after NPRC or how you call it, AFRC. Not easy. There's so many things, not just like routine matter, no. So this is what I was telling the young man. Concentrate, make up your mind, pursue what you want to do sincerely, honestly. Don't mix it up with other things.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, welcome, sir.
All right, well, family, I hope say when I don't listen to former Vice President of the Republic of Sierra Leone and also flag bearer for the Sierra Leone People's Party 2007, Solomon Ekuma Bayewa. We don't share an idea of how we've been talented for our women small. Even though he lost in Papa at 7, he's still determined for learn and make sure say he won't be who that he be so today. So the challenge now you own, no matter your situation, no matter what you go through, no matter how life talent for you, if you think, say, you want to be who that you want to be, you will surely be that person there. Well, I saw the program one-on-one go left you for today, but I will encourage you for tuning again on Monday at exactly 10 o'clock as we will tell you more about other people them. We don't make them to side in this so today. Till we meet again, take a very good care of yourself. My name, Suleiman Storm Kuruma.
Dirty remarks. There is one question I'd really love to ask. Is there a place for the hopeless sinners who has her torment?